On December 20th, 1958, in the wonderland that is Sweden, two men claimed that they were nearly abducted by flying globular beings from a flying saucer. This week, we look at their harrowing and bizarre tale. Check it out, folks, because this one is Guano Loco. I'm Alan Brill, and this is a brilliant tidbit, a brain nugget, a little snack between main shows. But warning, it still gets dark in here. Just shy of 3 a.m. on the road between Helsingborg and Höganäs, Sweden, two men, Hans Gustafsson and Stig Ryberg, were returning to Helsingborg when a thick fog enveloped the road, slowing their travel to a mere 25 miles an hour. They came to this clearing where they saw a mysterious light. Curious about the source of this mystery light, they made a decision that they would come to dearly regret. They parked the car on the side of the road and left the safety of their vehicle and walked into the fog. Hans would tell reporters and officials that they saw a strange disc. It was resting on legs about 2 feet long. It seemed to be made of a peculiar shimmering light that changed color. Their amazement at such an astounding sight quickly turned to terror when they were suddenly accosted by a group of what can best be described as blobs. Hans and Stig said they were like protozoa, just a bit darker than the mist, sort of a bluish color, hopping and jumping around the saucer like globs of animated jelly. The blobs quickly enveloped them and with a powerful suction tried to pull them towards the saucer. The drag the thing exerted was terrific, the men said, and it gave off such a terrible smell, like ether and burnt sausage. Stig claimed that he sank his right arm into one of the blobs all the way up to his elbow. He said, "It almost seemed as if the creatures could read my mind. They parried every move before I made it. Their strength was not so great as the technique with which they wielded it. I'm not exactly sure what he means there. I mean, if you punch them and your arm goes through, then I'm not sure what blocking or parrying they're doing. I don't know if maybe he was trying to run away and every time he juked or zigged or zagged, they would block his way is maybe what he meant. I'm not entirely sure, but, you know, they were psychic with great techniques and I'm just picturing them out there kung fu fighting, which amuses me, so that's what I'm going with. Now, during the attempted abduction, Ryberg managed to free himself from the jelly bags and with two of those gelatinous horrors fast on his heels, he made it to the car and flung the door open and desperately blared the horn. The harsh sound of the blaring horn did the trick. The blobs dropped Hans, who was stretched out horizontally, holding onto a fence post, Gilligan in a hurricane style, and they retreated into their spacecraft and soared away. They reported that as it shot upwards, it emitted a brilliant light and a piercing, high-pitched whistle. The traumatized duo continued their journey home, agreeing to keep the bizarre experience to themselves. "We knew that people would only laugh at us if we were to tell them this fantastic story," the men said, "and the authorities would probably have us committed to an asylum. Besides, such publicity would not do us any good." "That stench, though, it just wouldn't go away," Hans said. "We endured it for 3 days, and then we decided we should see a physician. We were afraid that those monsters might have permanently damaged us in some way, perhaps internally. The doctors could find nothing wrong with them, but this piping noise and the foul stench was still there. And so Hans and Stig decided to come forward with their story." Okay, you got these psychic flying kung fu fighting jelly bags attacking these two dudes on their way home when they see a light and it turns out to be a spaceship. But it's clearly a ridiculous story, right? I mean, you'd think so, but let's hold off judgment for just a moment, shall we? You see, extensive tests were conducted by two separate psychologists on Hans and Stig, who were under hypnosis, and the psychologists concluded that the duo was telling what they considered to be the truth, that their story was based on an actual event. They came short of saying that the story is true. They kind of couched their words there. They said they were telling what they considered to be the truth. So they hedged their words there. And I'm just a little wary of hypnosis anyway. Not really qualified to have an opinion on it one way or the other. But you know, I don't know. I'm a little wary of hypnosis, but I don't know enough about it to tell you how you should feel, I guess. But since they both, under hypnosis, had matching stories while they were separated, that adds more than a touch of validity to me to have the same story under hypnosis while separated. So I'm inclined to agree with the professionals on this one. They certainly believed what they claim. Now, do they believe it because that's actually what happened, or maybe it's a case folie à deux, defined by Uncle Google as a rare mental condition where two people in a close relationship share the same delusional beliefs. Typically, though, one person, the dominant party, has a pre-existing disorder with delusions, which neither Hans nor Stig had. You know, it's not just something that happens simultaneously and you both see the same thing. That's not how it works. It gets used a lot as an excuse when it shouldn't. It's used incorrectly. One thing that people also say will happen when it's a two-person event like this is that for whatever reason, one person will imagine it so much that they think it's real and telepathically project these thoughts into the second person, which is as fantastic as whatever it is that they're claiming, really. But that's another theory. So what happened? Was it that? I don't think so, but put that theory out there. If it wasn't that they were attacked by flying jelly bags, what else could it be? It's too elaborate to be a hoax. There's no way that this was somehow hoaxed upon them. I can just take that off the board. Be like the most expensive hoax in history, especially in 1958. It was determined that they were not lying, and the only thing they could do is maybe misinterpret something else, but what could you misinterpret as being attacked by flying jelly bags from a UFO? I mean, that's pretty much what it would have to be. It couldn't be like, oh no, it was a swamp gas. Now, immediately after reporting the incident, the young men were questioned and examined by officials from the Swedish defense staff, psychologists, doctors, and police for over 12 hours. And this just barrage of questions from different sources, all different directions, and the duo never once had an inconsistency or contradiction to their story. And to endure that level of interrogation and not get tripped up, that just smacks to me as being the truth. And another thing that I thought when I read this, you know, Swedish defense staff, why all this attention? Clearly, the Swedish government took them seriously. Now, Stig and Hans, they took the experts and the press to the scene of the attempted kidnapping, and they discovered, still visible, there is these indentations in the ground that would be consistent with where the saucers' landing gear would have rested. That's some physical evidence. It's not a smoking gun, but it's definitely corroborating evidence. And here is another very interesting aspect Danish officials were allowed to participate in the interrogations and subsequent investigations, after which they then declared that Denmark's files contained a similar case with a Danish woman. Has this also happened in Denmark, or something very similar? All right then, now we're talking. Accounts of the incident were carried by more than 70 European papers, giving the poor bastards a ton of the attention that they didn't want. And they've never appeared comfortable with it, and as you know, they claimed they initially didn't report it because they didn't want the attention. You know, as ridiculous as this story appeared to me to be on the surface, I just can't write it off. Much like the Joe Simonton case, for that, go back and listen to the tidbit entitled Intergalactic House of Pancakes. You'll dig it. Much like that case, I find this to be absolutely ridiculous. Flying psychic jelly bags trying to abduct these dudes off the side of the road. And yet, I find it absolutely believable. This one, folks, it's Guano Loco, and I tell you, I'm here for it. But here's a little pleasant thought to carry around with you. We only know of this attack on Hans and Stig because they overcame it. They survived it. So how many times has this happened where the jelly bags were successful in their abduction? How many people have they taken? And more importantly, why have they taken them? And if they have, they've never returned any of them. Nobody's come back with memories of the abduction by the jelly bags like they have with the Greys or several of the other alleged alien forms. So I'm guessing the jelly bags get you. You don't come back. That's just a little pleasant thought to keep in the back of your mind next time you're driving down a lonely, deserted road. And just watch out for the psychic flying kung fu jelly bags. So here's to you, Hans and Stig, you magnificent blob-fighting bastards. You managed to escape, and you brought us this fantastic story, for which I am grateful. So tonight, I lift a mug of hot chocolate in your honor. Here's to you. A little afterthought here, just something to tuck away in the back of your mind. I just wanted to make note of the fog, and more of these stories, it keeps creeping in. Carl Sandburg would say, it keeps creeping in on the little cat feet. It's worth noting. I got the majority of the story from the Things That Go Bump in the Night book by the great, great Brad Steiger. Great anthology. I'll lean on it quite a bit. So, thanks for listening, folks. Hey, remember to subscribe. Hit that like button. Or the stars, whatever you got on the bottom of your platform there. And I hope you have a wonderful week. And I'll talk to you again next week. And as you return to the normal world out there, I just hope that you'll be careful because it can get dark out there.